Sir, 'tis your brother Cassius at the door who doth desire to see you.
Is he alone?
No, sir. There are more with him.
Do you know them?
No, sir. Their hats are plucked about their ears, and half their faces buried in their cloaks, that by no means I may discover them by any mark of favor.
Let him enter. They are the faction. Oh, conspiracy, shamest thou to show thy dangerous brow by night when evils are most free? Oh, then, by day, where wilt thou find a cavern dark enough to mask thy monstrous visage? Seek none conspiracy, hide it in smiles and affability. For if thou have thy native semblance on, not Erebus itself were dim enough to hide thee from prevention.
I think we are too bold upon your rest. Good morrow, Brutus. Do we trouble you?
I have been up this hour, awake all night. Know I these men that come along with you?
Yes, every man of them. And no man here but honors you. And every one doth wish you had but that opinion of yourself which every noble Roman bears of you. This is Trebonius.
He is welcome hither.
This Decius Brutus.
He is welcome too.
This Casca, this Cinna, and this Metellus Cimber.
They are all welcome. What watchful cares do interpose themselves betwixt your eyes and night?
Shall I entreat a word?
Here lies the east. Doth not the day break here?
No.
Oh, pardon, sir, it doth. And yon grey lines that fret the clouds are messengers of day.
You shall confess that you are both deceived. Here, as I point my sword, the sun arises, which is a great way growing on the south, weighing the youthful season of the year. Some 2 months hence, up higher, toward the north, he first presents his fire, and the high east stands as the capital directly here.
Give me your hands all over, one by one.
And let us swear our resolution.
No, not an oath. If not the faith of men, the sufferance of our souls, the time's abuse, if these be motives weak, break off betimes, and every man hence to his idle bed. So let high-sighted tyranny range on till each man drop by lottery. But if these, as I'm sure they do, bear fire enough to kindle cowards and to steal with valor the melting spirits of women, then, countrymen, what need we any spur but our own cause to prick us to redress? What other bond than secret Romans that have spoke the word and will not palter? And what other oath than honesty to honesty engaged, that this shall be, or we will fall for it? Yes. Swear priests and cowards and men courtelers, old feeble carrions, and such suffering souls that welcome wrongs, and to bad causes swear such creatures as men doubt, but do not stain the even virtue of our enterprise, nor the insuppressive mettle of our spirits, to think that or our cause or our performance did need an oath, when every drop of blood that every Roman bears, and nobly bears, is guilty of a several bastardy if he do break the smallest particle of any promise that hath passed from him.
Aye. But what of Cicero? Shall we sound him? I think he will stand very strong with us.
Let us not leave him out.
No, by no means.
Oh, let us have him, for his silver hairs will purchase us a good opinion and buy men's voices to commend our deeds. It should be said his judgment ruled our hands. Our youths and wildness shall no whit appear, but all be buried in his gravity.
Oh, name him not. Let us not break with him, for he will never follow anything that other men begin.
Then leave him out.
Indeed, he is not fit. Shall no man else be touched but only Caesar?
Decius, well urged. I think it is not meet Mark Antony, so well beloved of Caesar, should outlive Caesar. We shall find of him a shrewd contriver, and you know his means, if he improve them, may well stretch so far as to annoy us all. Which to prevent, let Antony and Caesar fall together.
Our course will seem too bloody, Caius Cassius, to cut the head off and then hack the limbs like wrath in death, and envy afterwards, for Antony is but a limb of Caesar. Let us be sacrificers, but not butchers, Caius. We all stand up against the spirit of Caesar, and in the spirit of men there is no blood. Oh, that we then could come by Caesar's spirit and not dismember Caesar. But alas, Caesar must bleed for it. And gentle friends, let's kill him boldly, but not wrathfully. Let's carve him as a dish fit for the gods, not hew him as a carcass fit for hounds. And let our hearts, as subtle masters do, stir up their servants to an act of rage and after seem to chide them. This shall make our purpose necessary and not envious. which so appearing to the common eyes, we shall be called perjurers, not murderers. And for Mark Antony, think not of him, for he can do no more than Caesar's arm when Caesar's head is off.
Yet I fear him, for in the engrafted love he bears to Caesar...
Alas, good Cassius, do not think of him. If he loves Caesar, all that he can do is to himself. Take thought and die for Caesar. And that were much he should, for he is given to sports, to wildness, and much company.
There is no fear in him. Let him not die, for he will live and laugh at this hereafter.
Peace. Count the clock.
The clock hath stricken three.
'Tis time to part.
But it is doubtful yet whether Caesar will come forth today or no, for he is superstitious grown of late, quite from the main opinion he held once of fantasy of dreams and ceremonies. It may be these apparent prodigies, the unaccustomed terror of this night, and the persuasion of his augurers may hold him from the Capitol today.
Never fear that. If he be so resolved, I can assuage him. For he loves to hear that unicorns may be betrayed with trees, and bears with glasses, elephants with holes, lions with toils, and men with flatterers. But when I tell him he hates flatterers, he says he does, being then most flattered. Let me work, for I can give his humor the true bent, and I will bring him to the Capitol.
Nay, we will all of us be there to fetch him.
By the eighth hour. Is that the uttermost?
Be that the uttermost, and fail not then.
Caius Ligerius doth bear Caesar hard, who rated him for speaking well of Pompey. I wonder none of you have thought of him.
Now, good Metellus, go along by him. He loves me well, and I've given him reasons. Send him but hither, and I'll fashion him.
The morning comes upon us. We'll leave you, Brutus. And friends, disperse yourselves, but all remember what you have said, and show yourselves true Romans.
Good gentlemen, look fresh and merrily. Let not our looks put on our purposes, but bear it as our Roman actors do, with untired spirits and formal constancy. And so, good morrow to you, everyone. Boy. Lucius. Fast asleep. It is no matter. Enjoy the honey-heavy dew of slumber. Thou hast no figures nor no fantasies which busy care draws in the brains of men. Therefore thou sleepst so sound.
Brutus, my lord.
Portia, what mean you? Wherefore rise you now? It is not for your health thus to commit your weak condition to the raw, cold morning.
Nor for yours neither. You run gently, Brutus, stole from my bed. And yesternight at supper you suddenly arose and walked about, musing and sighing with your arms across. And when I asked you what the matter was, you stared upon me with ungentle looks. I urged you further. Then you scratched your head and too impatiently stamped with your foot. Yet I insisted. Yet you answered not, but with an angry wafter of your hand gave sign for me to leave you. So I did, fearing to strengthen that impatience which seemed too much enkindled, and withal, hoping it was but an effect of humour which sometime hath his hour with every man. It will not let you eat, nor talk, nor sleep. And could it work so much upon your shape, as it hath much prevailed on your condition, I should not know you, Brutus. Dear my lord, make me acquainted with your cause of grief.
I am not well in health, and that is all.
Brutus is wise, and were he not in health, he would embrace the means to come by it.
Why, so I do. Good Portia, go to bed.
Is Brutus sick? And is it physical to walk unbraced and suck up the humours of the dank morning? What, is Brutus sick? And will he steal out of his wholesome bed to dare the vile contagion of the night, and tempt the roomy and unpurged air to add unto his sickness? No. My Brutus, you have some sick offense within your mind, which by the right and virtue of my place I ought to know of, and upon my knees I charm you by my once commended beauty, by all your vows of love, and that great vow which did incorporate and make us one, that you unfold to me yourself, your half, why you are heavy. And what men tonight have had resort to you? For here have been some six or seven who did hide their faces even from darkness.
Kneel not, gentle Portia.
I should not need. If you were gentle, Brutus, within the bond of marriage, tell me, Brutus, is it accepted I should know no secrets that appertain to you? Am I yourself but, as it were, in sort or limitation, to keep with you at meals, comfort your bed, and talk to you sometimes? Dwell I but in the suburbs of your good pleasure? If it be no more, Portia is Brutus' harlot, not his wife.
You are my true and honorable wife, as dear to me as are the ruddy drops that visit my sad heart.
If this were true, then should I know this secret? I grant I am a woman, but withal a woman that Lord Brutus took to wife. I grant I am a woman, but withal a woman well reputed, Cato's daughter. Think you I am no stronger than my sex, being so fathered and so husbanded? Tell me your counsels, I will not disclose them. I have made strong proof of my constancy, giving myself a voluntary wound here in the thigh. Can I bear that with patience? I have made strong proof of my constancy, giving myself a voluntary wound here in the thigh. Can I bear that with patience, and not my husband's secrets?
O ye gods, render me worthy of this noble wife. Hark, hark, one knocks. Portia, go in a while, and by and by thy bosom shall partake the secrets of my heart. All my engagements I will construe to thee, all the correctory of my sad brows. Leave me with haste.
Lucius, who's that knocks?
Here is a sick man that would speak with you.
Caius Ligerius that Metellus spoke of. Boy, stand aside. Caius Ligerius, how?
Vouchsafe good morrow from a feeble tongue.
Oh, what a time. Have you chose our brave Caius to wear a kerchief? Would you were not sick?
I am not sick, if Brutus have in hand any exploit worthy the name of honor.
Such an exploit have I in hand, Ligerius. And you a healthful ear to hear of it.
By all the gods that Romans bow before, I here discard my sickness. Soul of Rome, brave son, derived from honorable loins, thou, like an exorcist, hast conjured up my mortified spirit. Now bid me run, and I will strive with things impossible, yea, get the better of them. What's to do?
A piece of work that will make sick men whole.
But are not some whole that we must make sick?
That must we also. What it is, my Caius, I shall unfold to thee as we are going, to whom it must be done.
Set on your foot, and with a heart new fired I follow you, to do I know not what, but it sufficeth that Brutus leads me on.
Follow me then!
Nor heaven, nor earth hath been at peace tonight. Thrice hath Calpurnia in her sleep cried out, "Help, ho, they murder Caesar." Who's within?
My lord.
Go bid the priests do present sacrifice, and bring me their opinions of success.
I will, my lord.
What mean you, Caesar? Think you to walk forth? You shall not stir out of your house today.
Caesar shall forth. The things that threatened me ne'er looked but on my back. When they shall see the face of Caesar, they are vanishing.
Caesar, I never stood on ceremonies, yet now they frighten me. There is one within, besides the things that we have heard and seen, recounts most horrid sights seen by the watch. A lioness hath whelped in the streets, and graves have yawned and yielded up their dead. Fierce fiery warriors fought upon the clouds in ranks and squadrons and right form of war which drizzled blood upon the capital. The noise of battle hurtled in the air. Horses did neigh and dying men did groan and ghosts did shriek and squeal about the streets. O Caesar, these things are beyond all use and I do fear them.
What can be avoided whose end is purposed by the mighty gods? Yet Caesar shall go forth. For these predictions are to the world in general As to Caesar.
When beggars die, there are no comets seen. The heavens themselves blaze forth the death of princes.
Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come. What say the augurers?
They would not have you to stir forth today. Plucking the entrails of an offering forth, they could not find a heart within the beast.
The gods do this in shame of cowardice. Caesar should be a beast without a heart if he should stay at home today for fear. No, Caesar shall not. Danger knows full well that Caesar is more dangerous than he. We are two lions littered in one day, and I the elder and more terrible. And Caesar shall go forth.
Alas, my lord, your wisdom is consumed in confidence. Do not go forth today. Call it my fear that keeps you in the house and not your own. We'll send Mark Antony to the Senate House, and he shall say you are not well today. Let me upon my knee prevail in this.
Mark Antony shall say I am not well, and for thy humor will I stay at home. Here's Decius Brutus. He shall tell them so.
Caesar, all hail. Good morrow, worthy Caesar. I come to fetch you to the Senate House.
And you are come in very happy time to bear my greeting to the senators and tell them that I will not come today. Cannot is false, and that I dare not, falser. I will not come today. Tell them so, Decius.
Say he is sick.
Shall Caesar send a lie? Have I in conquest stretched mine arms so far to be afeard to tell greybeards the truth? Decius, go tell them Caesar will not come.
Most mighty Caesar, let me know some cause, lest I be laughed at when I tell them so.
The cause is in my will. I will not come. That is enough to satisfy the Senate. But for your private satisfaction, because I love you, I will let you know. Calpurnia here, my wife, stays me at home. She dreamt tonight she saw my statue, which, like a fountain, with 100 spouts did run pure blood. And many lusty Romans came smiling and did bathe their hands in it. And these does she apply for warnings and portents and evils imminent. And on her knee hath begged that I will stay at home today.
This dream is all a misinterpreted. It was a vision fair and fortunate. Your statue spouting blood in many pipes, in which so many smiling Romans bathed, signifies that from you great Rome shall suck reviving blood, and that great men shall press for tinctures, stains, relics, and cognizance. This, by Calpurnia's dream, is signified.
And this way have you well expounded it.
I have when you have heard what I can say, and know it now. The Senate have concluded to give this day a crown to mighty Caesar. If you shall send them word you will not come, their minds may change. Besides, it were a mock apt to be rendered for someone to say, break up the Senate till another time, when Caesar's wife shall meet with better dreams. If Caesar hide himself, shall they not whisper low, Caesar is afraid? Pardon me, Caesar, for my dear, dear love to your proceeding bids me tell you this, and reason to my love is liable.
How foolish do your fears seem now, Calpurnia? I am ashamed I did yield to them. Give me my robe, for I will go. And look where Publius has come to fetch me.
Good morrow, Caesar.
Welcome, Publius.
Caesar.
What, Brutus? Are you stirred so early, too? Good morrow, Casca.
Caesar.
Caius Ligerius, Caesar was ne'er so much your enemy as that same ague which hath made you leave. What is the clock?
Caesar, it is struck an 8.
I thank you for your pains and courtesy. See, Antony, that revels longer nights, is notwithstanding up. Good morrow, Antony.
So to most noble Caesar.
Bid them prepare within. I am to blame to be thus waited for. Now, sinner.
Oh.
Now, Metellus.
Caesar.
What? Tribonius. I have an hour's talk in store for you.
Remember that you call on me today. Be near me that I may remember you.
Caesar, I will.
So near will I be that your best friend shall wish I had been further.
Good friends, go in and taste some wine with me, and we, like friends, will straightway go together.
That every like is not the same, O Caesar. The heart of Brutus yearns to think upon.
Caesar, beware of Brutus. Take heed of Cassius. Come not near Casca. Have an eye to Cinna. Trust not Trebonius. Mark well Metellus Cimber. Decius, Brutus loves thee not. Thou hast wronged Caius Ligarius. There is but one mind in all these men, and it is bent against Caesar. If thou be'st not immortal, look about you. Security gives way to conspiracy. The mighty gods defend thee. Thy lover, Artemidorus. Here will I stand till Caesar pass along, and as a suitor will I give him this. My heart laments that virtue cannot live out of the teeth of emulation. If thou read this, O Caesar, thou mayst live. If not, the fates with traitors do contrive.
I prithee, boy, run to the Senate House. Stay not to answer me, but get thee gone. Why dost thou stay?
To know my errand, madam.
I would have had thee there and here again, ere I can tell thee what thou shouldst do there. O constancy, be strong upon my side. Set a huge mountain between my heart and tongue. I have a man's mind, but a woman's might. How hard it is for women to keep counsel. Art thou here yet?
Oh, madam, what should I do? Run to the capital and nothing else, and so return to you and nothing else?
Yes. Bring me word, boy, if thy lord look well, for he went sickly forth. And take good note what Caesar doth, what suitors press to him. Hark, boy, what noise is that?
I hear none, madam.
Pretty listen well. I heard a bustling rumour like a fray, and the wind brings it from the capital.
Sooth, madam, I hear nothing.
Come hither, fellow. Which way hast thou been?
At mine own house, good lady.
What is the clock?
About the ninth hour, lady.
Is Caesar yet gone to the capital?
Madam, not yet. I go to take my stand to see him pass on to the capital.
Thou hast some suit to Caesar, hast thou not?
That I have, lady. If it will please Caesar to be so good to Caesar as to hear me, I shall beseech him to befriend himself.
Why? Knowest thou any harms intended towards him?
None that I know will be. Much that I fear may chance. Good morrow to you. Here the street is narrow. The throng that follows Caesar at the heels of senators, of praetors, common suitors, will crowd a feeble man almost to death. I'll get me to a place more void, and there speak to great Caesar as he comes along.
I must go in. I mean, how weak a thing the heart of woman is. Oh, Brutus, the heavens speed thee in thine enterprise. Sure the boy heard me. Brutus has a suit that Caesar will not grant. Oh, I grow faint. Run, Eustace, and commend me to my lord. Say, I am merry. Come to me again and bring me word what he doth say to thee.
The Ides of March are come.
I, Caesar, but not God,
Hail Caesar! Read this schedule.
Trebonius doth desire you to read at your best leisure this his humble suit.
Oh, Caesar, read mine first, for mine's a suit that touches Caesar nearer. Read it, great Caesar.
What touches us ourself shall be last served.
Delay not, Caesar. Read it instantly.
What? Is the fellow mad?
Sirrah! Give place.
What? Urge you your petitions in the street? Come to the Capitol.
I wish your enterprise today may thrive.
What enterprise? Papilius!
Fare you well.
What said Papilius, Lena?
He wished today our enterprise might thrive. I fear our purpose is discovered.
Look how he makes to Caesar. Mark him.
Casca, be sudden, for we fear prevention. Brutus, what shall be done? If this be known, Cassius or Caesar never shall turn back, for I will slay myself.
Cassius, be constant. Papilius Lena speaks not of our purposes. For look, he smiles, and Caesar doth not change.
Trebonius knows his time. For look you, Brutus, he draws Mark Antony out of the way.
Where is Metellus Cimber? Let him go and presently prefer his suit to Caesar.
He is addressed. Press near and second him.
Casca, you are the first that rears your hand.
Are we all ready? What is now amiss that Caesar and his Senate must redress?
Most high, most mighty, and most puissant Caesar, Metellus Cimber throws before thy seat an humble heart.
I must prevent thee, Cimber. These couchings and these lowly courtesies might fire the blood of ordinary men and turn preordinance and first decree into the law of children. Be not fond to think that Caesar bears such rebel blood that will be thawed from the true quality with that which melteth fools. I mean sweet words, low crooked curtsies, and base spaniel fawning. Thy brother by decree is banished. If thou dost bend and pray and fawn for him, I spurn thee like a cur out of my way. No. Caesar doth not wrong, nor without cause will he be satisfied.
Is there no voice more worthy than mine own, to sound more sweetly in great Caesar's ear for the repealing of my banished brother?
I kiss thy hand, but not in flattery, Caesar, desiring thee that Publius Cimber may have an immediate freedom of repeal.
What? Brutus?
Pardon, Caesar.
Caesar, pardon.
As low as to thy foot doth Cassius fall, to beg enfranchisement for Publius Cimber.
I could be well moved if I were as you. If I could pray to move, prayers would move me. But I am constant as the northern star, of whose true fixed and resting quality there is no fellow in the firmament. The skies are painted with unnumbered sparks. They are all fire, and every one doth shine. But there's but one in all doth hold his place. So in the world, it is furnished well with men, and men are flesh and blood and apprehensive. Yet in the number I do know but one that unassailable holds on his rank unshaped of motion. And that I am he, let me a little show it, even in this. That I was constant, Cimber should be banished, and constant do remain to keep him so.
O Caesar!
Hence, wilt thou lift up Olympus?
Great Caesar!
Doth not Brutus bootless kneel?
Speak hands for me!
Et tu, Brute, then fall, Caesar.
Oh. Liberty! Freedom! Tyranny is dead! Run hence, proclaim! Cry it about the streets!
Some to the common pulpits and cry out liberty, freedom, and enfranchisement!
People and senators, be not affrighted! Fly not! Stand still! Ambition's debt is paid.
Go to the pulpit, Brutus.
And Cassius, too.
Where's Publius?
Here, quite confounded with this mutiny.
Stand fast together, lest the friend of Caesar should
talk not of standing. Publius, good cheer. There is no harm intended to your person or to no Roman else. So tell them, Publius.
And leave us, Publius, lest that the people rushing on us should do your age some mischief.
Do so, and let no man abide this deed but we, the doers.
Where is Antony?
Fled to his house amazed. Men, wives, and children stare, cry out, and run as it were doomsday.
Fates, we will know your pleasures. That we shall die, we know. 'Tis but the time and drawing days out that men stand upon.
Why, he that cuts off 20 years of life cuts off so many years of fearing death.
Grant that, and then is death a benefit. So are we Caesar's friends that have abridged his time of fearing death. Stoop, Romans, stoop, and let us bathe our hands in Caesar's blood up to the elbows, and besmear our swords. Then walk we forth even to the marketplace, and waving our red weapons o'er our heads, let's all cry peace, freedom, and liberty.
Stoop then, and wash. How many ages hence shall this our lofty scene be acted over, in states unborn, and accents yet unknown?
How many times shall Caesar bleed in sport, that now on Pompey's basis lies along no worthier than the dust?
So oft as that shall be, so often shall the knot of us be called the men that gave their country liberty.
What shall we force?
Aye, every man away. Brutus shall lead, and we will brace his heels with the most boldest and best hearts of Rome.
Soft, who comes here? A friend of Antony's.
Thus, Brutus, did my master bid me kneel. Thus did Mark Antony bid me fall down, and being prostrate, thus he bade me say, Brutus is noble, wise, valiant, and honest. Caesar was mighty, bold, royal, and loving. Say I love Brutus and I honor him. Say I feared Caesar, honored him, and loved him. If Brutus will vouchsafe that Antony may safely come to him, and be resolved how Caesar hath deserved to lie in death, Mark Antony shall not love Caesar dead so well as Brutus living, but will follow the fortunes and affairs of noble Brutus, that are the hazards of this untrod state, with all true faith. So says my master, Antony.
Thy master is a wise and valiant Roman. I never thought him worse. Tell him, so please him, come unto this place, he shall be satisfied. And by my honor, depart untouched.
I'll fetch him presently.
I know that we shall have him well to friend.
I wish we may, but yet have I a mind that fears him much, and my misgivings still fall shrewdly to the purpose.
But here comes Antony.